Cassie Logan?
Yes, Miss Crocker?
That's the third time I've caught you daydreaming this morning. Just because you managed to come in first on the examinations last week doesn't mean a thing this week. We're in a new quarter, and everyone's slate is clean. You'll make no A's by daydreaming. You understand that?
Yes, sir,
I said, not bothering to add that she repeated herself so much that all a body had to do was listen to the first few minutes of her lesson to be free to daydream to her heart's content. I think you'd just better sit in the back, where you're not so comfortable, she said. Then maybe you'll pay more attention.
But,
Miss Crocker raised her hand, indicating that she didn't want to hear another word, and banished me to the very last row in front of the window. I slid onto the cold seat after its former occupant had eagerly left it for my warm quarters by the stove. As soon as Miss Crocker turned away, I mumbled a few indignant phrases, then hugged my Christmas sweater around me. I tried to pay attention to Miss Crocker, but the cold creeping under the windowsill made it impossible. Unable to bear the draft, I decided to line the sill with paper from my notebook. I ripped out the paper, then turned to the window. As I did, a man passed under it and disappeared. The man was Caleb Wallace. I raised my hand. Miss Crocker? May I be excused, please, ma'am? As soon as I had escaped Miss Crocker, I dashed to the front of the building. Caleb Wallace was standing in front of the seventh grade class building talking to Mr. Welliver and two white men whom I couldn't make out from where I stood. When the men entered the building, I turned and sped to the rear and carefully climbed onto the wood pile stacked behind it. I peeked cautiously through a broken window into Mama's classroom. The men were just entering, Caleb Wallace first, followed by a man I didn't know, and Mr. Harlan Granger. Mama seemed startled to see the men, but when Mr. Granger said, "Been hearing about your teaching, Mary. So as members of the school board, we thought we'd come by and learn something." She merely nodded and went on with her lesson. Mr. Welliver left the room, returning shortly with three folding chairs for the visitors. He himself remained standing. Mama was in the middle of history, and I knew that was bad. I could tell Stacy knew it too. He sat tense near the back of the room, his lips very tight, his eyes on the men. But Mama did not flinch. She always started her history class the first thing in the morning when the students were most alert, and I knew that the hour wasn't yet up. To make matters worse, her lesson for the day was slavery. She spoke on the cruelty of it, of the rich economic cycle it generated as slaves produced the raw products for the factories of the North and Europe, how the country profited and grew from the free labor of a people still not free. Before she had finished, Mr. Granger picked up a student's book, flipped it open to the pasted-over front cover, and pursed his lips.
"Thought these books belonged to the county," he said, interrupting her.
Mama glanced over at him, but didn't reply. Mr. Granger turned the pages, stopped, and read something.
"I don't see all them things you're teaching in here."
"That's because they're not in there," Mama said.
"Well, if it ain't in here, then you got no right teaching it. This book's approved by the Board of Education, and you're expected to teach what's in it."
"I can't do that."
"And why not?"
Mama, her back straight and her eyes fixed on the men, answered, "Because all that's in that book isn't true." Mr. Granger stood. He laid the book back on the student's desk and headed for the door. The other board member and Caleb Wallace followed. At the door, Mr. Granger stopped and pointed at Mama.
"You must be some kind of smart, Mary, to know more than the fellow who wrote that book. Smarter than the school board, too, I reckon."
Mama remained silent, and Mr. Welliver gave her no support.
"In fact,"
Mr. Granger continued, putting on his hat,
"you so smart, I expect you'd best just forget about teaching altogether. Then that way you'll have plenty of time to write your own book."
With that, he turned his back on her, glanced at Mr. Welliver to make sure his meaning was clear, and left with the others behind him. We waited for Mama after school was out. Stacy had sent TJ and Claude on, and the four of us, silent and patient, were sitting on the steps when Mama emerged. She smiled down at us, seemingly not surprised that we were there. I looked up at her, but I couldn't speak. I had never really thought much about Mama's teaching before. That was just a part of her being Mama. But now that she could not teach, I felt resentful and angry, and I hated Mr. Granger. "Y'all know?" she asked. We nodded as she slowly descended the stairs. Stacy took one handle of her heavy black satchel, and I took the other. Christopher John and Little Man each took one of her hands, and we started across the lawn. "Mama," said Christopher John when we reached the road, "can't you ever teach no more?" Mama didn't answer immediately. When she did, her voice was muffled. "Somewhere else, maybe, but not here. At least not for a while."
"But how's come, Mama?" demanded Little Man. "How's come?"
Mama bit into her lower lip and gazed at the road. "Because, baby," she said finally, "I taught things some folks just didn't want to hear." When we reached home, Papa and Mr. Morrison were both in the kitchen with Big Ma drinking coffee. As we entered, Papa searched our faces. His eyes settled on Mama. The pain was in her face. "What's wrong?" he asked.